Now the battle was joined. Horde fought horde that day by the eastern sea. Martin's army flooded around Marshank, surrounding its walls on all four sides. Slingstones, javelins, arrows and spears were loosed up at the wall tops as roaring war cries rent the air.
Fire and freedom! Broad stream forever!
Umbrella! Umbrella! Kill! Kill! Kill!
Martin!
Badrang was everywhere at once, waving his sword as he shouted encouragement to his fighters, massed thick on the high walls.
Crosstooth! More archers at the front! See the gates are defended! Boggs, tell those spears to stand ready on the north side! Slash any ropes and grapnels! Don't let them over! Frogbit, get boulders and rocks to the back wall! Crush them! Bluehide, take the south wall! Use long spears and pikes! Throw fire down on them!
Badrang was an experienced battler. He found his confidence and shrewdness returning as the horde looked to him as their leader. Grabbing a passing ferret, he rapped out more orders.
Stumptooth, take 30 wounded. Four groups of five to supply the walls with arrows, spears and slingstones. Get the other 10 to carry the big fishnets to the wall tops and drop them over on any large groups. That'll slow them up. Come on, you fighters and horde beasts. This is our chance to rule the whole country. Slay! Land! Plunder! We'll have it all!
Ignoring his sore and bandaged paws, the tyrant snatched the spear from a sea rat, hurled it coolly, and slew a shrew who was trying to climb the gate.
See? It's easy! They die like other creatures. We'll make the sands run red before nightfall.
Arrows zipped down from the wall tops in dark clouds, like angry wasps, tearing into the packed ranks that charged Marshank. Slingstones whirred like flights of small birds, clanging on armour and blade alike in their upward flight. Rose found Baldred and the Warden on a hillock, out of weapon range. The two great birds stood waiting their chance. Baldred greeted the Mouse Maid.
We'd be shot out of the air in the middle of that lot. When it gets dark and the pace slackens, my friend and I'll be able to fly in.
Rose looked out over the melee of battle.
Where's Martin? I lost sight of him in the charge.
The grey heron pointed his beak towards the front gates.
He is over there with otters and hedgehogs. They have a piece of timber to batter the gates, but it is not big enough.
Balor came panting up with the remnants of his gallant force. Weary and battle-scarred, the brave hare slumped down in the sand.
Whew, what a day, chaps! Roanoke and myself pulled our little army out for a breather, what? Let those other creatures have a crack at the foe. They're a lot fresher than my gang.
Roanoke sat with the owl in the heaven, shaking her head.
You arrived just in time to save us from being slaughtered on the tide line. Thank you, but your charge has been too furious. I am not a warrior or a commander, but I can see that they will never breach those walls by throwing themselves at them.
The owl blinked as she watched the assault on the fortress.
You are right, Roanoke. Martin seems to be the only one who has any kind of plan, but he is unaware of others when his warrior blood is roused. We need a plan of attack. Badrang is not stupid. He has the advantage of the walls and is using them well. Other creatures less shrewd might have been panicked by our charge. Not him, though. He is a cool one in a pinch.
Balor brightened up.
That's it. A plan. Capital. What do you suggest, Mom?
Chapter 41.
Martin let go of the shattered remnants of the inadequate chunk of driftwood he and his allies had been using as a battering ram. Drawing his sword, he attacked the gates in a wild rage. Starworth and Gulber ducked into the shelter of the gates as missiles rained down from above. They tried to restrain Martin.
It's no use, mate. The gates are too strong. Come away.
Martin hacked and hammered at the stout timbers, oblivious to everything about him. Rose pressed through the chaos, sided by Grum and Palom. They forced a way through to the gate. Martin halted at the sight of her, deflecting a broken spear haft with his short sword.
Rose! Get out of here! It's too dangerous!
She picked up the sharp-pointed end of the spear boldly.
Not without you, Martin. Come with us. You are needed. Starwart, Gulber, you too. We need a proper battle plan. Too many creatures are being killed needlessly. We won't get inside Marshank by charging and milling about willy-nilly. Come!
It had turned noon when otter drums sounded over the fray. The attackers broke off their charge and retreated back to the sands around the low dune. Crosstooth shook his spear in the air jubilantly.
Yeah, they've turned tail and run.
Badrang knew better. He had seen Balor's fighters contacting the leaders. It was a calculated retreat. However, the tyrant said nothing of this. Imitating Crosstooth, he waved his sword.
See, I told you it was easy. Look at them, running like frightened babies now that they've had a taste of real fighting from warriors like us. Hey, lads?
Gesturing and prancing on the wall tops, the horde took up his cry.
Ha-ha! Had enough, have you? Cowards!
Come back and fight me! I only slew 10!
10? I slew 20, and I'd have got more of them if they hadn't scurried off in a fright!
Tramanclog left off his grave digging and clambered to the wall top. He sized the situation up immediately.
Burn me, Clogs, buckos! You're a bunch of strawheads if you think those fighters are running away! I'd save me breath for more action if I was you lot!
Whack!
Badrang dealt Clog a ferocious blow across his head with a long pike he had snatched from Gruzzle. The corsair fell senseless in a heap. Badrang kicked him from the wall top, and Clog's unconscious form fell with a thump onto a heap of sand he had excavated. The tyrant stoat leaned on the pike, dismissing his former partner.
Don't listen to that old fool. His brains are all in his clogs. Crosstooth, see that every beast has extra rations. Stay awake, lads. Maybe they'll get brave enough to give it another try. I certainly hope so, eh?
This announcement was greeted with raucous cheers. While the wounded were treated by Rose and Brome, food was divided up among the groups of creatures seated around the low hillock. Martin sat with the council of chieftains as they laid war plans. Roanoke and Boldred were rocks of good sense, rejecting the wild schemes of hot-headed beasts, considering the suggestions of cooler and wiser creatures. Queen Ambala had several of her pygmy shrews drag a large square fishing net to the hill. It was made of strong woven kelp.
See, Martin Mouse, whoopies throw this, small as a plenty good.
A gore-tribe squiddle laughed scornfully.
Hey, good game, they didn't catch squirrels. Gores are too fast for nets, hey.
Martin sat up alert, the light of idea dawning in his eyes.
That's it. We go in over the walls on two sides when night falls and use the nets one side, say on the north, while the squirrels take the south wall.
Starwart's wife, Marigold, put down the pitcher she had been drinking from.
And what's Badrang's crew going to be doing while all this goes on? Because they won't be sleeping or picking their claws.
Martin pointed across to where the old rambling rose-hip troop's fire-charred cart lay half-buried in the sand.
Will the wheels on that thing still turn?
Balor shrugged.
What do you think, buckler old lad?
The mole gazed at it for a while before giving his verdict.
Poor, 'twere a good old cart, Dutton. I wager I'll get her going, though it won't go far, Martin.
The warrior mouse shook Buckler by the paw.
It won't have to go far, friend. Only from here to those gates, loaded with burning grass and wood, just to create a diversion.
Baldred blinked excitedly.
It could work. Hold back the attack until before dawn. That's when they'll least expect it. The warden and I will fly the net and drop it over the north wall. Who'll be going over there, Martin?
Queen Ambala, with her warriors and the big hedgehogs.
Trung thumped his loaded thong weapon gleefully into the sand, grinning at his wife as she nursed her immense war club.
Hear that, my dearie. We'll go over paw in paw.
The Gore tribe squirrels will help the otters to scale the south wall.
Starwart winked at a nearby squirrel.
Eat plenty, mate, and get your strength up. I'm no featherweight.
Martin eyed the cart grimly.
I'll be in charge of that. All our hopes hang on it. Right, any more suggestions?
Grum held up a digging claw.
Aye, Martin, there'll be other molars here. Ossens tunnel round the back wall, girt wide hole, giving every beast a chance to get inside.
Old Bart John stood up, dusting himself off slowly.
I'll go with Buckler and the others to fix the cart up. Then I'll bury Feldo.
Martin put his paw about the old squirrel's shoulders.
We'll come with you. Rose, Palom, Brome, Grum and myself. We all started out together, so we'd like to help put our friend to rest.
The rambling rosehip players voted to accompany Bark John too, all wanting to pay their last respects to their friend. Fleabane laughed against the wall top.
Logs was right, mate. I can see them trying to fix up that burnt cart. Bet you they'll be gone by morning.
Rotnose peered out into the gathering evening.
Well, I won't be sorry to see the back of them. They fooled Lord Magpie's. And as for that big squirrel,
fellow, or whatever he was called, that one was a real mad beast. I've never seen nothing like it.
Aye, well, he won't be doing no more slaying. They buried him where he fell. I never want to be within the league of a worry like him for the rest of me days.
Bazrang passed them by as he inspected the wall top troops.
Cut the gossip and keep your eyes peeled. No sleeping while you stand at stations.
When he had passed by, Fleabane muttered to Rocknose,
"That stoat's getting to be a right old worry wart, mate. Take it from me. They ain't coming back for more of what we gave them today."
Rocknose propped his chin on a battlement.
"You're right there, matey. Listen, we only got a few hours should I last night. We've been fighting all day. Now, I'm going to take a little snooze. You keep watch, then you can have second nap."
Bazrang descended from the walls and went in company with some of his captains to take supper in the longhouse. Boggs rubbed his paws together in anticipation as he walked with them.
"Oi, give me whiskers for a good beaker of kelp beer."
A cracked voice came out of the shadows.
"Bazrang is a great evil one, mate. Leading you all to your doom. Steer clear of him, follow me and dig graves. Dead beasts can't harm ya."
Boggs shuddered.
"Sounds like Clark, though I don't see him."
Crosstooth laughed harshly.
"Oh, Clark isn't right in the brain box no more. Mayhap it was that crack you give him with the pipe, sire. The daft old beast's been going about like that since he came to, ratting and raving."
Clark's crazy laugh seemed to come from nowhere.
"Ha ha 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 ha